I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche! That's right. It's Monday night here. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio here on 720 WGN.
We're all right. They're playing our song, man.
We're all right. Good to see you guys.
We're all right.
Good to see you. All right. Let's ring the bell and get started tonight. Why don't we start with turmoil on the Democratic side? Donna Brazile, a brand new book that's coming out where she says that Hillary Clinton essentially took over the DNC. The DNC supported Hillary over Bernie when they should have been neutral. Dave, does this have political implications for the Democratic National Committee moving forward?
It was a straight story.
So, come on. So if Chris can stop muttering under his breath, it's like a stage whisper. You know, everybody can actually hear it. He just doesn't know because his brain doesn't work that way. Anyway, so here's the thing about this. Nobody has greater contempt for the DNC under Debbie Wasserman Schultz than I do. I thought the organization was feckless. I thought she was a terrible spokesperson. I thought she was a terrible chair. There, frankly, hasn't been a really good chair since Howard Dean's 50-state strategy in the mid-2000s. But the question is, what impact did it actually have on the election? Because Hillary won almost 4 million more votes. And the only tangible thing the DNC actually did that affected people was this idiotic debate schedule where they were afraid that Hillary, you shouldn't expose Bernie because maybe he's going to do too well. Or it was a terrible, terrible, dumb idea. And in the end, it didn't even work because they wound up expanding the debates.
It seems
It didn't work because they lost the election.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you. I mean, I've heard more, and the president does this as well, and Republicans really like to point this out.
Okay.
But didn't it work in Republicans' favor that Hillary Clinton became the candidate and therefore Trump was able to win?
How many years, David, was I saying the Democrats are not going to be so silly as to nominate Hillary? I mean, a couple of years, 2 years?
One or two, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I think that's ridiculous. But I think that David misses the institutional point. And as a Republican, I think we need a strong Democratic Party. And when the Democratic Party has a set of rules, okay, over here, and everybody's saying, oh, we're following the rules and we're not putting the thumb on the scale for Hillary, nor are we, you know, doing anything to the detriment of Bernie. And then it turns out 12 months later or whatever it is that we all find out, yes, they were doing that. That there is an integrity issue,
yeah,
which
but
I
what
think
were they
gets
doing?
back to the Clintons, but it's important. And I think Donna Brazile wrote this book to end the Clinton era. And I hope that
no,
she's
I think
successful.
Donna Brazile wrote this book to make money, and she threw in there a whole bunch of crazy things that have discredited her, such as,
I was thinking about throwing
Hillary off the ticket and putting Biden on. Yeah, hey,
of course, that's not what she
flash.
Said. That's not what she said.
Well, there's also questions
you can't
and legitimacy of what she means, because the it came up later on Friday that the issue was this was actually corrected in the way that it happened after the primary. So if it's after the primary,
here,
I'm saying, like, there's a lot of credibility gap stuff that's happening.
David, I think you're reading this all wrong. We all know you were a backer of Hillary and Hillary won the nomination. We get that. My point is on this issue of the illness. None of us knew what the heck. What I think is amazing, you know, Hillary seems to be doing real well now. She doesn't seem to have these same episodes or these same weaknesses or difficulties that she had during the campaign.
She had pneumonia.
Now you say it.
No, what they said at the time.
No, the point about Brazile saying when she went through this, Brazile obviously did not know how well or ill she really was, and B, if you're in that job, that's one of the few jobs in the entire country where you actually have to think about this stuff. And it's fascinating to hear. She was thinking about maybe Biden and what? Cory Booker. What the heck? I mean, an interesting ticket.
Well, Biden didn't want it, so it didn't really matter.
But, well, it was irrelevant.
Well, and she wasn't sick. She wasn't
September.
That sick.
You can't do that.
It turned out that she wasn't that sick.
Let's admit, there's a nice transition into elections.
I got to say, don't forget that the exact same thing was going on the Republican side just 5 weeks earlier, which is one of the many ways in which 16 was so completely off the charts weird, because people were really thinking that Trump might somehow leave the ticket. They were hoping.
It's true, because it does seem that they mirror each other in what happened in 2016. All the things that were happening in the Republican that was way more public was happening in the Democrat side as well, just maybe covered up.
They were covering it up, just like the Russian deal with Uranium One.
Oh, good.
They're covering it up.
All right. So to the elections, there are some significant elections. The governor of Virginia, governor of New Jersey, mayor of New York. All I've heard, and I kind of made a joke at the beginning of this hour, just saying, I'm in Illinois. We're going to have a ton of election stuff coming up. Pass. But there is this thought that this could be a bellwether or a possible look ahead to the midterms on how some of these elections go.
So historically, you watch the race, particularly in Virginia. I ran my first campaign I ever ran was in Virginia in 1995 because Virginia are off year elections. It's before the usually the presidential or the midterms. It's every 4 years, and it's often a bellwether. And what's interesting to watch about this race is that Ed Gillespie, who is as mainstream a Republican establishment as it gets,
swamp
is running. Yes, yeah, swamp. He's a swamp creature.
Swamp
absolutely.
Creature.
he's running as this Trumpian race baiting. I know Chris
Mark love race baiting.
He's totally race baiting.
That's all you have to
he's
say.
He's throwing
is race
all
bait.
These dog whistles out.
I accuse you of race baiting.
Okay, yeah, that's a non sequitur. Look it up, Chris. Anyway, so he's running as a Trumpian.
Yes.
And so he's running as a Trumpian. And in the meantime, Northam, the Democratic candidate, is like stumbling and bumbling and doing these stupid ham-handed things. And I'm like, no, why can't we get out of our own way? That campaign is there for the Democrats to win.
It sounds like Dave expects Gillespie to win. And so do I. I think that Northam actually got himself on too many sides of the Latino Victory Fund. You talk about race baiting, a hideous advertisement about
race baiting.
You know, Gillespie's guy is going out after in a pickup truck to run down minority children. I mean, it was just awful. It was really, at least the Daisy ad from LBJ's campaign had some grandeur to it and had some sort of moment to it. This was just derivative, you know, kind of third rate thriller kind of stuff. But anyway, Gillespie's going to win.
It, so
Northam, who has been up in the polls forever, is letting it slip away.
Yeah.
And that's terrific for the Republicans and for the people of the state of Virginia, because it's going to make it that much. Virginia needs to come back. Its economy has got to get going.
Well,
get going. They've got unemployment rate below 4%. Illinois would love to be in Virginia's shoes right now.
Yeah, I tell you, if Virginia was in such great shape, Northam, however you say that guy's name, would be succeeding McAuliffe.
No, Northam is
familiar to what happened in 2016. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio are doing Touche tonight. We'll come back. We'll talk overseas trip and also taxes. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio, 720 WGN. All right, let's talk the overseas trip to Asia. President Trump on his tour right now. This is a big, Chris, you say this is
big.
This is really all about North Korea.
This is really all about North Korea, although they're throwing in some trade. And I think that you got to look at it. A, it's the longest presidential trip in almost 30 years. It's a 12-day trip, and he's getting all around. He's really talking Northeastern Asian security architecture, and that's why he's meeting with Putin. But this is a very serious attempt, I think, on the one hand, to make sure all of our allies are on the same song sheet. God forbid, North Korea does something crazy. And B, to figure out exactly where China is, how much it will do, because wherever it stops doing what it needs to do, that's where our allies have got to pick up and try to cross the finish line.
Yeah, I actually thought he was meeting with Putin to check in with his overlord and make sure everything's going according to Putin's wishes.
You Russo baiter, you.
So what's been really interesting watching the North Korea thing play out is that I've said, and a lot of people have said, look, Trump has been talking at extreme levels of rhetoric, but really don't worry about it, because if anything was about to happen, we'd be sending multiple battle groups into the area, multiple carrier battle groups, and it hadn't been happening, so it really wasn't a big deal. Don't worry about it. Well, there are now three carrier battle groups in and around the Korean Peninsula. Donald Trump is going theoretically to the DMC sorry, the DMZ. And frankly, it's a terrifying time because I think he's going to try to create some big theatrical moment. And I just, I don't trust him. I don't trust that his common sense is not overtaken by his theatrics.
I don't know where you're getting that because, I mean, so far they've been going according to script in Japan. And let's face it, Japan is very significant here, not militarily, but politically.
He said, I don't know how a nation of samurais didn't shoot down a missile. That was according to script.
And I think that Trump is handling himself very well. I mean, no one in David's side of the party, side of the debate, expected that by November you would have basically all of the Asian allies on the same song sheet about North Korea, and they basically are there. This trip is really to confirm how far China is going to go. So, I mean, this represents the mere fact that he is getting to this, that he is executing as he is, I believe, compared to what David was predicting for years and years, shows an enormous amount of accomplishment on Trump's part. How far is he going to get China to go? What are we going to give up to get China to do it? I don't know.
I don't think that the U.S. has had any problems with their allies in North Korea when it comes to Japan, when it comes to South Korea. They've always been on the same
page. Wait a second. As recently as a year ago, the current leader of South Korea was running on a peace platform against THAAD, the terminal high altitude artillery destructo machine, whatever that thing is called. He was against it. Now he's for it.
It's the anti-missile system.
It's the anti-missile system.
But the question goes back to China in the way that they really are the ones that will find where they actually play. Does Trump have the kind of sway as a leader, as a communicator, as someone who can come in and negotiate with China to get China to sort of back off of North Korea?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't so far. He is, you know, he said during the campaign that this is so easy. It'll be so easy. All you got to do is get China to turn the screws and then voila. And remember how he got snookered with the leader of China right in the beginning of his administration. And so he's been kind of trying
to. That was the leader of Taiwan.
No, the leader of China at the beginning. And, you know, he's been trying to come back ever since. And look, we'll see what China's actually willing to do. So far, they haven't been willing to really do much of anything.
That is not true. David is mischaracterizing diplomatic history. The key element here is that he has done more with China in the last 10 months than Obama got China to do about Democratic People's Republic of Korea in his entire 8 years.
Specifically what?
Specifically, China has reduced exports, reduced imports. They have increased financial sanctions. They have reduced the ability of the ruling elite and the governing clique of North Korea to access their own funds. And that is more than has ever happened in history. So you don't want to acknowledge it.
You give that to Donald Trump. You give that to President Trump.
Well, that's entirely since Mar-a-Lago. And the place where he got goofed up was he had that call with the head of Taiwan.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about because our relations, his relations with the head of China, President Xi, has been really exemplary. I mean, and I think my fingers are crossed, not as a partisan, but for everybody's safety. You know, from Seoul to Boston.
Okay, so we only got a minute here, so we'll do taxes next week. But the tax today was the beginning of the markup process, the Ways and Means Committee. Democrats pretty much shut out. They got to ask questions, but they're not involved in the process because of reconciliation, all that kind of
stuff. And I think they were only allowed to ask the question, how really awesome is this plan?
Chris,
better question?
Chris, really quick, predictions on the you think this is going to get done?
This thing is going to get done, and it is going to liberate our economy.
This thing is going nowhere. There are pieces of this thing that are going to start falling apart, starting with the medical expense deduction, which they've eliminated, which frankly allowed me to keep my father at home for 6.5 years of his illness.
And I know realtors are really upset about what's happening to the home mortgage interest deduction.
We'll talk about all that stuff because we'll next time you guys are on, because this is supposed to be before Thanksgiving, before Christmas. This is going to move fast,
moving,
plan. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, Touche every Monday night
we're
here on the Download. Good to see you guys.
Bye.